Mary Baker Eddy's work is a continuation or extension of the work of Christ Jesus. Through Mary Baker Eddy, primitive Christianity has been extended into this age. Its new name is science. Today, salvation is the product of understanding the joint demonstration which Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy equally share. Salvation instantaneously occurs when the work Christ Jesus initiated and Mary Baker Eddy completed is understood as one undivided and uninterrupted process. The Christ of Jesus brings God down to individual man in Christianity, and the Christ of Mary Baker Eddy elevates individual man up to God in science. One Christ with a dual function. These two complementary processes equate to one salvation, or God and man, one. Mrs. Eddy states, "We can read her books, but if we don't know the love she has for us, then her secret is unknown. And her secret is that she is the Christ to this age. She is the second witness that stands before the God of the whole earth." We don't find that in her writings. But here, Mrs. Eddy is saying, she has actually put it here in writing, "If you know how much I love you, this inmost something becomes articulate, and my book is not all you know of me." Of course it is not all. There is much more that we know about her, and we have learned it in the Bible. The Bible is full of the prophecies of the woman who would bring the second coming of the Christ. So here, on page 133 of Miscellany, is a plain-spoken, straight-to-the-heart appeal to the spiritually minded, that if we know how much she loves us, if we feel her love for us, then we know more about her than what her books contain. And the only place we learn about Mrs. Eddy, other than in her writings, is in the Bible. The Scriptures are full of prophecies of the coming of the woman. And in the entire Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, the real issue is not whether Mrs. Eddy is the woman of the apocalypse. The real issue is, does Mary Baker Eddy represent the ideal woman who appeared in the first day of creation with God? Have we been attacking the problem from the wrong end of the book? Might we not call this an excavation, shoveling away the debris of the centuries to reveal reality? Returning now to Mrs. Eddy's writings. These writings include the manual as she wrote it and left it for us with its estoppels. Remember, in the manual, estoppels are those clauses that stopped an action when Mrs. Eddy was no longer here to supervise. Looking from today's perspective, we can see that the manual estoppels were Mrs. Eddy's only reason for writing a manual. She said she considered her manual second only to Science and Health in importance. She wrote and copyrighted the manual. See manual page 104. Therefore, we find our leader in her manual with its bylaw estoppels. We do not find her in the legal fraternity's interpretation of the manual. Namely, their finding that, quote, "the old lady cannot rule from the grave," unquote. Loyal Christian Scientists know that eternity, not the legal profession, awaits our manual. Today, many at, quote, "headquarters," unquote, are in a high dudgeon over the ferreting out of who done it, who caused the present embarrassing exposures. Some plaintive voices from the chicken coop are calling, "'Tain't no one here but us longtime supporters of our great leader, Mary Baker Eddy." Hypocrisy is ever the homage vice plays to virtue. It's time to start cutting our spiritual teeth. Continued organization retards spiritual advancement. Remembering that she insisted her manual was second only to Science and Health in importance, it should be obvious from all Mrs. Eddy has written, derogating organization, how strongly she felt that continued organization retards spiritual growth. And her manual for all eternity definitely prevents five personalities from sinking the divine principle of her great discovery and revelation in personality. No one knew better than Mrs. Eddy that, quote, "there was never a religion or philosophy lost to the centuries except by sinking its divine principle in personality." Miscellany, page 117. The first Christian Science Church from 1879 to 1889 was a democratic church. What the majority voted for ruled. But when they reorganized in 1892, that changed. She took over lock, stock, and barrel. It was no longer democratic. 12 students met with Mrs. Eddy and, as mentioned before, reorganized under her jurisdiction. The mother church then became a theocracy. Mrs. Eddy, the Christ mind, was given absolute control, which she used to gradually turn it all over to the eternal jurisdiction of the church manual. The church manual dictates the way the Boston church only is to function, or not function. The church manual to this day governs the church created by the September 1st, 1892 deed. How was the property of this beloved and magnificent edifice of the First Church of Christ Scientist to be maintained? The original little church and the extension in Boston will continue to draw countless thousands of loyal Christian scientists who stare up at these beautiful symbols, quote, "our prayer in stone," unquote, with reverential awe. What was Mrs. Eddy's provision for them? Her Publishing Society deed of trust has in it a stipulation that provided for the upkeep of the property of the First Church of Christ Scientist. Thus, after Mrs. Eddy's passing, when there was no longer a mother church to which members could belong and pay a per capita tax to maintain the church property in Boston, Mrs. Eddy provided that surplus funds from the Publishing Society were to be turned over to the treasurer of the First Church of Christ Scientist for the maintenance of the Boston church property, the original little church, and the extension. Board of Directors breaks Mrs. Eddy's publishing deed. As long as Mrs. Eddy's Publishing Society deed was honored before the suit in equity, also called the Great Litigation, the profits turned over to the treasurer of the First Church of Christ Scientist were huge. But a change came after Mrs. Eddy's Publishing Society deed of trust was broken. Despotic control of ecclesiasticism, masquerading as the Christian Science Organization, began at once to put freedom through the shredder, demanding the Boston Board be allowed to govern the thoughts of Christian scientists and keep us in the wilderness forever. This infamy resulted in sharply reduced revenues from the Publishing Society. Pioneering creative thinkers were no longer free to break through the inherited mold of scholastic theology and keep abreast of the times. Our greatest and best thinkers were shunned as prophets without honor. Had the Christian Science Monitor continued as under Mrs. Eddy's supervision, it would have continued to spread undivided the science that operates unspent and to bless all mankind. Instead, it has failed to prevent the mental pollution from mass media communications that is today contaminating the minds of untold millions. In addition, it has all but stopped spiritual healing. Today we must, through deeper consecration to what is in our textbook, recapture the great light that shone from Mary Baker Eddy's consciousness. She taught us spirit is the only. Spirit is what is really there, but it looks like matter. So we have to dematerialize it, dematerialize our concept of spirit, omnipresent, infinite good. Why did Mrs. Eddy tell Professor Herring the manual will save the cause? Why did she write in Miscellany, page 230, eternity awaits our church manual, which Revelation 12 tells us is destined to rule with a rod of iron? Why did Mrs. Eddy insist the bylaws were impelled by a power not one's own? Manual. Why did she insist that every bylaw was inspired? That, quote, I wrote the manual just as I wrote science and health. Again, why did she tell her other students, quote, the manual will be acknowledged as law by law? That's from the Cross and Crown, page 322. To reiterate, the answer to this question lies with the restrictive clauses in the deeds concerning the land for the extension. Land Mrs. Eddy bought and deeded to the same legal four-member board to whom she had previously given the property on which to build the original Mother Church. Today, with the sad division staining the ongoing history of the Christian Science movement, it is a question of, do we obey Mary Baker Eddy's manual as she wrote it, or do we obey a self-appointed board of five directors who hired lawyers to interpret the manual in such a way as to leave them, the five-member board, in power after Mary Baker Eddy's divinely dictated manual terminated their positions? The disobedient board of directors, illegal, spurious, and misleading 89th manual. The 88th manual was the last one put out by Mrs. Eddy. But when she refused to write a bylaw transferring her power to the five-member board, one of the directors, Archibald McClellan, and Mrs. Eddy's publisher, secretly, without authority from Mrs. Eddy, had the Plimpton Press print a manual that would be ready to go to the field at Mrs. Eddy's passing. Immediately upon Mrs. Eddy's departure, the plates of this altered manual, the 89th, were pulled from the safe, printed, and sent surreptitiously to all Christian Science reading rooms to replace Mrs. Eddy's 88th and last manual. In their attempt to erase the shadows of Mary Baker Eddy, this 1911 89th manual, put out by the five-member board, removed Mrs. Eddy's name as head of the church, defiantly replacing it with their own names, with the five-member board of directors, which the manual, if obeyed, had terminated. Her name was restored in 1924 only because of pressure from the field. In their spurious 89th manual, this board, which again, remember, Mrs. Eddy's bylaws specifically and legally terminated, decided they must have dominion over every Christian Science church in the world, and to make sure nothing would knock the wheels off their bandwagon, they infamously, shamefully, added the three words on pages 120 and 127, quote, and branch churches, unquote. Under it they wrote, republished from the Sentinel. But in the Sentinel it only says, present order of the services in the Mother Church. It does not add and branch churches. As before noted, the manual states, page 104, for the Mother Church only. In the same interview quoted earlier, the COP was asked yet another question by the press. When was the last time Mrs. Eddy revised the manual? The COP, either through ignorance or fearful of losing his job if he answered truthfully, quibbled, quote, Mrs. Eddy made her last revision to the manual not long before she died in December 1910. This last edition, the 89th, came off the press early in January 1911. This edition is the final version and is the one that is still in use today, unquote. This is from a publication, The Yankee, July 1992. This, of course, as previously explained, is a complete fabrication. To this type of intentional or witless unintentional falsehood, Mrs. Eddy would have responded, when the discoverer of Christian Science in this age must deal with sinning so-called Christian Scientists, then those who know their leader as she is, as the one scripturally prophesied to bring the promised comforter, must be awake to the delusions of malicious animal magnetism that would make Jerusalem a waste and a desert place. Take up those transgressors in our midst who would undo the work of their leader. Waken to the need of this hour, that those who would set aside the manual of the Mother Church with its just bylaws see the sinfulness of their ways. This statement was preserved by Carpenter Foundation. It appears that for the Boston hierarchy's ecclesiastical dictatorship, the trip to the spiritual world may be one of history's most undisciplined and slowest rides. Tell the truth concerning the lie. Mary Baker Eddy. In strong language, Mrs. Eddy condemned the practice of only denouncing error in general, saying nothing in particular of error that is damning men, leading them to falsely believe the manual-terminated board of directors is Mrs. Eddy's successor. They, those that try to argue in justification of error to cover it up against their honest convictions, which Mrs. Eddy once said filled her with righteous indignation beyond any other form of error, are sticklers for a false, convenient peace, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. The unseen wrong to individuals and society, the wrong of flagrantly disobeying Mrs. Eddy's manual estoppel bylaws, they are too cowardly, too ignorant, or too wicked to uncover, and excuse themselves by denying that this evil exists. This mistaken way of hiding sin in order to maintain harmony has licensed evil, allowing it first to smolder and then break out in devouring flames as it has today. All that error asks is to be let alone. Miscellany, page 210. But when error is let alone and has its way unchallenged, we are eventually confronted with chaos on an unimaginable scale. Lack of principle in Christian Science schools. One of the saddest consequences of disobedience to Mrs. Eddy's manual is that the directors in Boston have seeming control of, or at least great influence over, the so-called Christian Science schools. And until the extraordinary web of lies and deceit spun by this ecclesiastical hierarchy crumbles, it will continue to deprive the children enrolled in these venerable schools of a true estimate of her who brought the second coming of the Christ.